and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun. We are here today doing something a little different than we've done before. We are on camera. Say hi to the camera. Hi.
What's up, Canon camera? that I just found out is not a camcorder.
Yes, indeed. That gets taxed differently somehow. And so, yeah, I don't know. Hey, there you go. We learn something new every day.
Hopefully.
So anyway, here we are. Welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson.
And I'm Edward Dickey.
Edward. We've not met for a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, turns out having football practice at 3 to 5:30 every day.
That's what the new job you got,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
How's that going?
So far, so good. We got our first game tomorrow.
All right,
looking forward to it. We had a scrimmage over the weekend.
All right, cool.
You know, but I'm looking forward to the game. We're gonna see what happens.
Your glasses are fogging up on you. I want to help you out there a little bit.
I took a shower and my glasses just fog up.
Hey, it happens. It's all part of the game, man.
So
we're right on the cusp of probably our favorite time of the year. Football season is about to kick off.
I mean, just in general, like you have like playoff baseball. Yeah, like teams are getting in the pennant race. I mean, the Braves and Mets. That's looking like it's going to be a great run.
Yeah.
You know, where's the
game
started?
Do you know where Atlanta's a game and a half back now?
I think so. I think the Mets won yesterday, so it might be two because the Braves didn't play.
Okay,
but it's right around a game and a half.
It is right there.
And I mean, it's you know, every game matters. I'm loving the rivalry on Twitter.
Usually, this is where the Mets collapse, so maybe that'll be good for you guys.
One of my favorite things, and we'll get into more into football here in a second, but Blooper, the mascot, has got Mets fans screaming at him in all caps.
I love it.
It's amazing. And then, you know, the NBA is about to get started here in a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then you have football season, which obviously I think it's fair to say is you and I's. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you and I's favorite.
This
sport.
Is primarily a football podcast.
Yeah. No, I love all sports.
I love them all too, but football is the sport. And you know, you hit October where you have all four major sports playing at the same time. It's wonderful. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's a beautiful time of year. The weather gets better.
And then my birthday's in November.
Wow. We'll have to do something special for you.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
We're coming up almost a year anniversary.
Wow. Because our first podcast right at the end, I said, go Braves because the playoff series are starting.
That's right.
Little did I know.
Wow. I think this is our 30th episode.
Wow.
So we did 30 episodes in a year.
That's not real good for a weekly podcast, man. We took some time off.
That's all right, though. You know, we are an occasional podcast, we should say.
We're gonna get more.
We're gonna get better.
Yes.
Now that we're on camera, we're also gonna get more attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I think once I see myself, I'm gonna force myself to get more attractive.
So our big this week is we're gonna talk a little bit about fantasy football.
Yeah. Well, and just kind of in general, football getting started, and I think a lot of people. Play fantasy football. I think football lends itself the best to fantasy.
Absolutely does. Like that week to week kind of lineup.
Week to week, and there's a very easy correlation you can do with stats.
Yeah.
Baseball, there are a lot more numbers, and it gets tough. And there's a game every day.
Yeah,
and it's a long season.
Frustrating.
I've done fantasy baseball before, and as much as I love baseball, it's just tough to. Pay attention to the fact that some guy got a single. Like, you know, it's
yeah, right.
It's tough.
Right. I wonder if fantasy baseball even lends itself to what fantasy football does, which is gets more people to watch the games, more games, right?
No, that's a good question.
Because I don't think it does. I think
also what you run into is it's harder to watch every baseball game.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah.
Whereas football, you know, you get a couple that you don't get in your market. But you get the game, like, they're all at one time.
Although, shout out to Apple TV and...
Oh, yeah. Did you watch that Amazon thing last night?
I did not.
They're going to find their stride.
All right.
But we have here...
So we are part of... You and I are part of a fantasy football league together. What's the name of that league? Do we have a league name?
I believe it's Da League.
Da League. Yes, okay, very good. Da League.
I named it when I was probably... 21,
okay.
Maybe 22.
So this is an old school league.
We've been at this for a little while.
And I've been in the league for a year.
Yeah, and last year I messed up. I didn't change any of the settings from the COVID year. So everybody had like 12 people on their bench.
Oh, wow.
And it was just chaos. But,
we're going to run down. So it's an ESPN league. So and the other league that I'm a part of, which is an auction league, this is our 10th year.
Wow.
And we've been auctioned for the last couple of years now. But We're also ESPN League. So what I thought we could do today as part of our big is to kind of talk about the rankings here that we have on the cheat sheet from fantasy football, from ESPN's fantasy football, and see what, you know, just kind of give some comments about what we mm-hmm. think, and maybe talk about some sleepers who we think is going to jump out there. And then, you know, we'll send this to our leagues and maybe they'll be able to use it.
We're always here to help.
Always here to help other people beat us. That's what we do.
As much as I love football, I'm traditionally pretty bad at fantasy.
Well, so jumping off the bat, dreams come true.
I mean, I think the top two, and we'll go through the top five.
Yeah, let's do the top five.
The top five they have here is Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jackson, Murray. That's your top five.
And that's your top five. Now, you got to keep in mind that this is not like the top five quarterbacks in the league. This is top five fantasy players who they think is going to make score the most points.
Which I don't know if I'd necessarily agree.
So this is also for PPR. Keep this in mind, too. So
yeah.
It's a PPR sheet. So Josh Allen, I think, you know, he scores so much on the ground.
Yeah. And
so that's what they're thinking. He's going to get rush yards. He's probably going to put up 600 rush yards. He's probably going to put five touchdowns running
in. I definitely think he should be in the top five. I think the question there is Mahomes or Allen.
Yeah.
And you, honestly, you can't go wrong with either one.
I think Mahomes is great. Losing Devin Hester would hurt.
But losing Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, yeah.
That's definitely not, I mean, and that's part of why I love football is the team aspect of it.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, for even for fantasy, you have to take into account all of this stuff.
And, you know, so if you see on the
but I do think it's ridiculous not to have Aaron Rodgers
up there.
I mean, the man's coming off an MVP season.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about that is, so if you look on the side there, they got Josh Allen number one, in parentheses is his overall rank. And so you got him 43rd overall, Josh Allen. And then there's a huge jump, 10 spots until you get to Patrick Mahomes. So not only do they think that Josh Allen is better, or it's going to score more points than Patrick Mahomes, they think it's by quite a bit. I mean, 10 spots.
I mean,
so that's interesting, right?
I think he's a special player.
Do you think he's the third? You think he's better than Lamar Jackson when it comes to scoring fantasy points?
Now that's tough, but I do think. I mean, I think the Chargers potentially get better in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I think that could play into it. The other thing is,
Lamar's gonna get hurt.
Well, but also Lamar's still like negotiating his contract.
Oh, well, that's contract year. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah. Well, but it's like, you know, is it going to be ready?
That's true. That's fair.
But, I mean, I definitely... Now, the one that I really want to talk is why in all of God's God green goodness is Jalen Hurts at number six on this list?
Yeah.
Are we sure we printed off the right sheet?
This is the right list, and you're right. He is number six. I don't understand that at all. What did they expect to come out of Philadelphia?
I like Jalen Hurts.
Right.
I think he's a very serviceable quarterback.
I'm not even sure he can play quarterback yet. I see that he's ranked above Dak Prescott, which probably is a good thing. Prescott's going to score a lot of fantasy points, so there's going to be a lot of yards in the air for Prescott trying to come back from games he's losing. But Jalen Hurts, number six, I think you're right, Aaron Rodgers. Right. I would move Aaron Rodgers.
I would move
top
Aaron Rodgers up. Yeah,
I would move him top five.
And I know that eventually we're coming. Like, age is going to catch up to him,
but not yet.
But
they got Tom Brady on this list.
Yeah, but I still think that he is a top five quarterback in fantasy scoring wise. Which it's tough not to just think about this as a top five quarterback.
I know it is hard.
Now the other one, if we're talking sleepers here, and
let's give me a sleeper quarterback.
Now, this is going to shock no one that I think this guy's a sleeper.
Matt Ryan,
100%.
Yeah, that's who I was going to go to.
I think, you know, what's going to hurt him is he doesn't have great weapons.
Yeah, he doesn't have any weapons.
He has a great running back.
He has a great running back, but that doesn't really help.
That alone is going to free up some coverage.
Let's hope. If they're bringing eight men down in the box, and I don't even know, I can't name one receiver on their team.
I mean, looking at this, I would have to go through and find one.
Unless they re-sign T.Y. Hilton, which I don't think they're going to do.
Now, OBJ is still on the...
Whenever he can play.
There are a good amount of receivers still in the open market, and I think a lot of those we're going to see after week one. But I think what Matt Ryan will do, and it's similar to what he'll do in real life, but he does it in fantasy as well. He is good to get you a solid 15 to 20.
Yeah.
He might go over a little bit, but very rarely is he gonna.
He's not gonna blow you away with a 40-point game like Patrick Mahomes can.
No, but he's also not gonna throw three interceptions.
All right, hopefully,
and get you like 3 points.
Let me ask you this: while we're on quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, you take any kind of move on him? You'd get him back in time for the playoffs, the fantasy football playoffs.
See, that's a tough one because we don't know what we're going to see.
In our league, the league that I run, we have a limit, positional limit.
I keep moving
limit.
Up in front of the mic, and I'm like talking like here.
That's all right. In my league, we have a positional limit, so you can only have two quarterbacks at any time on your roster.
So
you'd have
like
to
board.
Hold Deshaun Watson and cut your starter if you...
I mean, I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't either. I didn't even think about that. That's interesting.
But, I mean, you know, I definitely wouldn't draft him.
All right, let's talk about running backs.
Yeah.
So the clear running back.
We can sit there and talk that all day.
So running back in a PPR league, running back is your sweet spot. That's just this
well,
is the guys that are making
the
most
there's
money.
There's not many of them that are going to blow you away.
Right.
So fantasy wise.
So there's a kind of an upper echelon of 5 or 10 guys.
And that's always your first round pick.
And then much like the NFL, it's like, you know, you get a stable of guys and you hope that they can, you know, scrounge together enough
scrounge
points.
Scrounge together
yeah.
15 and
yeah,
you know,
right.
the receiver pops off.
So the clear top here is Jonathan Taylor, which I think...
I 100% agree with that.
I think that's right. McCaffrey here, they got number 2, and he's a wild card in the sense of, like, you're going to get him for 5 games at the beginning of the season
now,
and 5 games at the end.
And now what's tough, though, is like you don't want to base it on thinking someone's getting going
to
get hurt.
Right, but you have to.
But the fact that he hasn't stayed healthy...
That's a
has
pretty good indicator.
Where is a?
And they got Eckler coming in at third here, 4th overall.
I wouldn't. It depends on when Father Time's going to hit Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. So I think this is the year.
I would argue almost. You think this is the
yeah,
year?
Yeah, I think he's carried the ball more than anybody has in the last 4 years.
Yeah, but he's a
years.
Huge dude.
They're all huge.
And the ball's not heavy.
And the people that he's running over are. and so I think this is the year the wheels come off. Derrick Henry. I'm going to go ahead and say that. That's my.
Well, all right, but now
I would
think,
stay away from Henry.
What do you
in
think
draft?
Wheels falling off looks like for Derrick Henry?
Oh, it probably looks like
like sub 1,000 yards.
I think right at 1,000.
Okay,
right at 1,000, 10 touchdowns.
That's still
1,000 yards. That's a solid guy, but
that's still like better than anything the Falcons have had.
That's not well. Well, yeah. Can't even who is the running back for the
Cordell Patterson.
He's a wide receiver. This is your
he's
problem.
He's a jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades means a master of none, my friend.
But he's our best player.
All right, Najee Harris. I like Najee to do great this year.
I've liked him since he was at Alabama.
Yeah, how many Alabama running backs do we have here in the top 5? that's two. 2 in the top 5. That's pretty impressive.
There's several SEC guys.
Yeah, several, yeah.
But that's a whole other thing. A guy who I've always liked and I liked him more because of Hard Knocks,
yeah.
But I think Javonte Williams is a very serviceable, solid running back that you might be able to get in the 3rd or 4th round.
Yeah.
If you want to go another position other than running back. And he's another guy. He won't blow you away. He's not going to put up a 30-point game, but he'll give you 10. If you want to go first overall or first round receiver. And hope the receiver can get you something.
So you're talking about Javonte Williams being your RB1 as a sleeper.
Yeah. Like, obviously you want to go, but let's say you're drafting in the back half of round 1.
Yeah.
And if it's like, do you really want to take Joe Mixon first of, like, in your first round?
I love Joe Mixon.
I was just looking down to pick
Oklahoma,
the name.
Boomer Sooner, baby. Joe Mixon, let's go.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
I do.
So you might as well go get a number one player at another position.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're going to get Mixon or someone like Mixon later on in the draft.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they have Kamara up here so high. He's another guy that I think the wheels are about to rattle in.
There's also some legal stuff coming for him.
Yeah, so who knows if he's even going to be playing for a little bit.
Which, as a Falcons fan, couldn't have been
a
nicer guy.
You couldn't have been a nicer guy, right?
Couldn't have been a nicer group of fans.
Also, I'm going to throw out a couple different sleepers here for running backs. The one that's predictable for me, but I think actually, honestly, is a sleeper this year is Ezekiel Elliott. I do think he's going to have a bounce back here. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't think it looks like more than 1,200 yards. I don't think it looks like more than probably 12 touchdowns, maybe. That would be a good season for him. That would be a huge bounce back season.
How
for
old
him.
Is he now?
He's 26.
Okay.
But
yeah,
he's been
not,
this is his 7th year, 6th year coming in, and he's carried the ball more than anybody in that
time. He hasn't had a 1-2 punch in
he
a while.
He is one of the smartest running backs in the league. Like, he can see and set up things on the field, but he just doesn't have that burst that he used to have.
You know, it's tough because at running back, I mean, every time you get the ball, you're getting hit.
Every single time.
Like, I mean,
and he's been hit a lot. And now he's sharing.
You're getting the ball a lot, too.
He's sharing carries with Tony Pollard, who I do think is going to be a late round pickup, who is definitely worth it. The other sleeper I'm going to throw out there is a guy who's really fallen down this chart from just a few years ago, but that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he has a return season this year, too, his rookie season.
You know, I would love that for him.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, I don't know what I'm going to get.
I think you're going to get more of him pass catching out of in KC.
Now, so what do you think of A.J. Dillon?
I like Dillon. I think he gets overshadowed, obviously, by the other kid. Who's the other guy that they have there? I know the big name, Aaron Jones.
But I'm talking RB2.
RB2, I think he's more of a flex.
Yeah, RB2 flex. You know.
Yeah, RB2 flex. Yeah. I would be confident putting him in my flex position. But I want somebody who gets the ball a little bit more to be my RB2. I don't know who that would be.
But the thing with running backs is, like, your backup running back is still going to get a solid amount of carries.
That's great. So if you get if you start two running backs,
play the backup the most, I would say.
If you play two running backs in your fantasy football lineup, then those are both starting running backs
you
for
like
some
team.
You would like them
now,
to be.
Now, in deeper leagues, it's impossible. But
in situations where, how many teams do we have in our league?
I think like 10-ish.
Okay, so we should be set.
Yeah, well, but I'm talking for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, the people.
That's right. If you're in a 10 or 12 person league, you should have two starting running backs in your RB1, RB2.
I did a 20 man league once with random people.
Oh my gosh.
I just wanted to see what it was
terrible.
Like.
Terrible. You have like four starters playing at the same time.
It was like, you know, you kind of have to go quarterback.
You go
in like round one,
yeah,
because there's a good chance your backup quarterback is actually a backup quarterback.
You know, That's funny. I think more than 12, you start to get in sketchy territory.
Yeah, I just want to see what it was like.
I did we did 14 one time in the other league I run, and it was thin pickings.
So we want to move on to wide receivers?
Yeah, let's do wide receivers. They got Cooper Kupp is the number one receiver.
Now, I think a lot of that. I think a lot of that is over.
That he had like the best receiving season ever last
year.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
Is he going to repeat that?
It's hard to say that he's not the best. It's like, really, he just broke like every record.
I don't even think.
I don't know. Now, I think a lot of that is, if you're going to put Cooper Kupp there, then you got to put Stafford up higher.
Yeah, you do.
Because his delivery system should be.
I mean, that's what it is, right? That's what we're talking about. And we didn't even talk about Stafford. Over here, he got ranked number 12, number 94 overall.
I mean, that's neither here nor there. But I think, I don't know if we see this. There's no way we see a repeat performance last year.
I just can't do it. I
think we see a good year.
Yeah, absolutely a good year.
Definitely a top five
receiver. Maybe a top five. I bet I'm going to go ahead and throw out this, though. I think I'm number one receiver next year is going to be Stephon Diggs. I think he's going to have a huge season.
I could see that.
I just think that with everything they got going on in Buffalo there, that's my number one guy. But Jamar Chase is another guy.
Now, what do you think about your guy, CeeDee Lamb?
Again, the delivery system is a problem. So,
but you have to think, though, like, he's going to throw passes.
He's going to be double-teamed every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know that he has the get-up to go get the ball.
Yeah, that's true. But you have to also assume
he can run routes.
You have to also assume, though, that he's going to get most of the lion's share of the passing plays.
He's going to be targeted more than
anybody.
But
in a PPR league.
He's going to be targeted more, but here's the problem. The ball's going to be behind him. It's going to be over his head, and he's going to have two guys on.
But you have to also, I mean,
I'm hoping.
You have to assume he's going to get at least 5 to 6 catches a game.
I would hope so. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying in a PPR league,
that's 5-6 points at least.
Yeah.
But if you're going to draft him as your number one receiver, you need him to be getting 15-20 points a game.
That's true.
And I don't know that that's going to be the case. I hope that that's true. I hope that that's exactly right. But we'll see.
I think in a PPR league, he's a solid play.
Yeah.
Just because.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Dallas doesn't. No offense. They don't have much else at receiver.
What do you think about Deebo Samuel, number 5 on this list?
You know, I was looking at that, too, and I was going to ask you.
Hey, he's kind of one of those jack-of-all-trades guys, isn't he?
Yeah. And so I think the jack-of-all-trades guys are great in fantasy just because they rack up yards in different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and he has I don't want to get into his contract conversation. He has a point. but, you know, he's going to get rushing yards. He's going to get receptions. He's going to get receptions out of the backfield. So I think just the sheer number volume of yards that he will amass is going to be big for him. Now, delivery system is an issue there.
We don't even know who's delivering the ball quite yet.
Yeah.
But it's probably that young kid.
Yeah, his name is escaping me right now. But
it's not Love. It's the other one.
I wanted to say. I know, right? Yeah,
I've been doing that all day.
But yeah, I think delivery system's a problem. But you also have to think if they're going with a young quarterback, and if he's lined up at running back, he's going to get a lot of carries.
Right. And that's a question. Like,
guys like that are interesting because it's like, can you play him at running back?
Yeah, that's the question. Like, some of those, there are guys who have a slash designation that you can play him in both slots, but that's really fascinating. They've got him marked down as a wide receiver.
So you know who else I think is going to be a solid sleeper is Pickens, and obviously as a Georgia fan, I'm biased.
Yeah, but man, he's been awesome so far.
But
again, you have the delivery system problem there, but even so, he has looked amazing. I mean, in the preseason, I've been watching that.
But and as far as your sleeper, you're not drafting a sleeper expecting him to be your receiver one.
What do you think about Drake London as a sleeper?
So, big fan.
Yeah. Look at Adam Thielen all the way down there. I just saw him down at 33.
His issue is we saw him for a little bit. He looked great, and then he got hurt. Yeah. And it's like, is this going to be a thing?
Is this going to be a thing, yeah.
How hurt is he?
Right.
And, you know, knee injuries scare the bejesus out of me.
I'll tell you who's going to be a monster next year that no one's talking about, no one's even thinking about right now, is Juju Smith-Schuster.
The Juju Beast?
Yes, in Kansas City.
Oh, in Kansas City, yeah.
Taking over for Tyreek Hill, basically. He's still good. He's 25 years old.
He's not a burner the way Tyreek Hill was.
Yeah, but he's fast, dude. He's good.
Very few people in the world are burners the way Tyreek Hill was.
Yeah, well, that's that's fair enough. That's a good point.
But that's a really good sleeper pick there.
Man, that's way all the way down there at number 32.
Because with every receiver, you got to think about the delivery system.
And let's not forget about Julio Jones.
Now,
Tampa Bay.
You're saying this as a joke?
I'm not. No, I'm saying he's the last wide receiver ranked on the sheet.
Well, they goes over the other page.
Oh, it does. Okay.
But, you know, if Julio can – when Julio's healthy, man
– if he can go get the ball –
he's still an elite receiver. Love
that. Do you remember that year that Randy Moss went to play for the Patriots? I think they went undefeated that year.
We skipped over tight ends.
Oh, we did, didn't we? We're working. What tight ends? Number four. Let's talk about tight ends.
Obviously, you know, Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce. Those are no brainers, I think.
Now, Kyle Pitts at number three. I really like that.
That's a lot of confidence.
It's a lot.
I don't even know who's throwing the ball in Atlanta.
Marcus Mariota.
Mariota.
You're right.
Mariota.
It's like Mario.
Yes.
But I think
he is for now. But who's
now?
But
the other thing, though, I think with Desmond Ritter. Yeah.
Ritter.
It's not
the Riddler.
It's not Mario and the Riddler.
It's Mario and the Riddler. That sounds even. They should market that.
Warner Brothers. Just copyright nightmare. But I think, you know, I love Kyle Pitts. I love the physical traits. I think he is a true unicorn. But the production wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of yards, but there's only one touchdown.
I know. I had him last year. He didn't. It's like they forgot about him in the end zone. Ryan's never been good in the red zone anyway. So I don't know why you would ever pick somebody that's supposed to catch touchdowns in the red zone if Matt Ryan is your quarterback.
It was hard to get a playoff last year for the Falcons. Getting to the red zone was an issue. I remember watching some games last year and it was like, and no one's blocking. we have a 37-year-old white guy running for his life.
I see you guys are about to cut your third round pick from last year. Your offensive lineman.
That could happen soon. But Darren Waller in Vegas, I like that.
I have not seen him play.
So that's the thing.
Some kind of shadow around him right now.
I haven't seen a lot of Raiders games, so like I don't know much about him. I do think Kittle is still a very solid tight end.
Absolutely. You know,
delivery system is an issue, but I
look at this Dalton Schultz, number six. They have a lot more confidence in the Cowboys than I do.
Well, that's because. That's because you were a glass half empty and the first half was poison and your family already drank it and there's no antidote.
That's exactly right. I say after the top five tight ends, though, it's just pick them. Who cares? There's a level of it.
Always, for some reason, I always end up with David Njoku.
How does that work out for you?
I mean, you know, he gets a couple, but it's just like one of those, someone gets hurt, I always end up somehow with David Njoku on my team. I don't think I've ever actually seen him play a game.
A couple sleepers in the tight end category. Zach Ertz, obviously in Arizona, I think is somebody you could look at. But I always like this kid, Mike Gizeski, out of Miami.
Yeah.
He always is sneaky, gets you 10 points a game.
And I like his delivery system too. I like that. You want to go into defenses?
Yes. So defense, special team.
I kind of like what they have, you know.
So Bills, Saints, Packers, Ravens, Bucks is your top five.
What makes me unhappy is that two of them are in my division.
Yeah. So again, these are special teams and defenses that are going to score for you. My strategy on defenses, I generally don't even worry about drafting one. And what I do is I look at the schedule and I look at what team's available and who's playing the worst team.
There isn't a standout defense yet.
No.
It used to be you really wanted the Seahawks defense.
That's exactly right, but we don't have that anymore.
There isn't one of those.
That hasn't been one of those in a while. And then you have surprise defense. Like last year, Dallas' defense, for instance, with all those turnovers and everything, they were scoring all kinds of points. But
it's the Dan Quinn effect.
Yeah, it is. But you see it. I mean, all of them are obviously defense is not
I do think that the Colts defense is going to be solid. They always have a solid defense.
This question on defense is this. Is there a defense that you would draft middle rounds before you would take a positional player that is snuck down the board?
You know, some years, yes. I just don't think it's that case as of right now. Now, fast forward 2 weeks, I'm going to be, why didn't I take the Commanders defense?
Oh, God.
I saw their name and said it.
But Commies, man. I'll tell you why you don't take them, because you don't even know if that team's going to be around in 2 weeks.
But, you know, some years definitely yes, but not. I don't think so this year.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Obviously, I don't put a lot of value in that. It's just so random.
Yeah.
What I want is a defense that's not going to lose me points, because I've done that before too.
That
had
is
a defense
tough,
that loses you 10
day.
Points. You get negative 10 points, and you're like, what? Why did you let the Brady light you up 50 points?
Why did I start them against Mike Vick?
And then we got kickers. Kickers is another thing where it's just like whatever.
Now I do think Justin Tucker's by far and away the best.
Yeah.
And also Harrison Butker's great. I would honestly put him higher.
I would too, actually.
But for the most part,
he's Atlanta boy.
Yeah, he's he actually played at the school that I'm coaching at.
Nick Folk is still in the league.
Dude, kickers can play forever.
Oh my gosh,
Matt
that
Prater
is amazing.
Is still
Matt Prater, that's insane. You notice I don't have a Dallas kicker list, because I don't think we have one yet.
Now, one thing I always like to do my fantasy draft a little later. Just because of injuries.
Sure.
And now, speaking of injuries, I think that brings us to our sad.
Yeah, let's transition to the
and
the
that
sad.
Is how you pivot. Our sad of the week is your Cowboys lost your tackle, right?
Yeah, so this was going to happen at some point during the year. We lost Tyrone Smith, our first-round draft pick from 2011. We took him instead of taking J.J. Watt. And it was a good pick. It was a good pick. He's all pro. He's a Hall of Famer.
It's not one of those where you look back.
He is the best left tackle in the league over his career.
Since Joe Thomas retired, I'll give you that.
Yeah. But the problem we've had in the last 3 years is that he can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field. And so during the season, at some point, he gets hurt and he's gone for a good chunk of the season.
And that happened this year. The beauty of Joe Thomas.
Never missed a game. I think.
Until he broke his leg. He's like, all right, I'm retired.
I'm done. Yeah. Tyrone Smith goes down. He had an injury where the hamstring becomes detached from the bone. And he's out until at least December, if he comes back at all this year or at all. He might be done. He's 31 years old, so he's got a few playable years. But if this is what the tread looks like, then it's not really right. So the big thing is, we talked about this, I think, last time we were together, but in the NFL draft over the past 20, 30 years, other than Keyshawn Johnson, The three positions that always go number one overall are quarterback, defensive end, and left tackle. Mm-hmm. Your left tackle protecting the blind side of your quarterback. That is the most important position on the offensive line.
So you want that to be your best pass blocker,
But that is your guy. That's a solid rocket.
And with the NFL passing league,
And the story that I have to tell you is actually a game here in Atlanta that I went to. I went to the game. There's a picture of it somewhere around here. But in any case, I went to this game. Was in a suite. Was in one of those awesome suites. Had free drinks, free food. Great view of the game there with a bunch of people I didn't know, connected through a member of the church or whatever. And I was like, oh, we're going to see the Cowboys play against the Falcons and we were going to win that game. But then our boy, Tyrone Smith, left tackle, got hurt, and this guy, Chaz Green, comes in, who I've never even heard of, and that's the game that Shane Claiborne, or whatever his name is,
Adrian Claiborne,
he got 6 sacks in that game, he set the Falcons record, and almost, he was going for the NFL record.
And what was funny was, like, prior to that...
You never heard of him.
I had heard of him,
like, his career sack number is, like, 8.
Yeah.
And 6 of them came in that game.
Yeah, it was like he wasn't an impact player.
He was not at all. And he bounced that into a nice contract, I think.
Yeah.
And then he's gone again. Like, we don't know where
he is. He leveraged that game.
So
a lot.
Now take that game and stretch it out over 17 games, because that's what we got now. We have nobody. We have nobody to jump into that position.
Is it still Chaz Green?
No, he's out of the league. I think I saw him down at the bar. But no. So we have no one in that position. We allowed the other two guys that we had who could possibly play that position to go in the offseason because we said, well, we don't need to pay these people, even though we've got like $20-something million in salary cap space. Lael Collins, who plays for Cincinnati now, and I don't even remember who the other guy was. But other than Zach Martin, our entire offensive line is babies, little babies.
But, you know, I will say, though, the Cowboys have always had – pretty good success at developing linemen. And, you know, I don't know if it's the same position coach that it's always been. But, you know, there could be something there. You never know. But a young offensive line is tough. Like,
you don't want that.
You want at least one veteran up there.
And we got Zach Martin. He's the best guard in the league, but...
Yeah. And he's a solid. He's a very solid player.
You're gonna have to kick him out to play left tackle, I guess. I don't even.
You're just gonna have to run a lot.
which I hope was the plan anyway. But
Elliot, more points. Man. But he's running behind a young offensive line, so it'll be tough. But you know, I always say, as a former lineman, man, you don't realize you have a good line until you have a bad line.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, because
what you don't want is your line to come up in conversation. Like, what you want is no one ever talk about your offensive line.
You don't want to know any of their names.
Exactly. You'd rather them just not.
Now, I remember the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, the unsung hero of all that was Alex Mack.
You guys got him in a trade, right?
We got him free agency.
Free agency, okay. Yeah.
And
he was kind of a missing piece.
That was a huge pickup because we let a...
Is he in San Francisco now?
I think so,
yeah.
But we let a player, like a center, walk. Like a veteran center, Todd McClure walked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we brought in a young, like, tried a couple young guys, and it's like we couldn't even get a snap off.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, and I think I even saw an interview with the former GM, and he was like, that was my biggest mistake, was letting him go. But then we brought in Alex Mack, I was like, everything works now again. But, you know, hopefully that's not the case with Collins here.
I'm not feeling good about the season. I think the season's probably over. But that's the sad.
Okay,
for today.
No, so, you cannot give up on the season before it starts.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, how much hope do you have for the Falcons right now?
Because I love football.
Yeah.
I'm still optimistic. You cannot tell me they're not going to the Super Bowl. Well, I know they're not.
And you got Georgia to fall back on.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I think they're coming down step two, probably.
We'll see. I'm going to be tailgating the...
Let's talk about something other than football. Let's move to something fun. Let's move to our fun segment for the day. Little League World Series.
All right. It's one of those things that it's always kind of on during the day on ESPN over the summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just fun, man. And it's what I like about it. And obviously, as a youth coach, I see it a lot. But it's, in my opinion, it's baseball in its purest form.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you don't get a lot of the nerds talking about launch angle and
the analytics kind of fall out of it.
Yeah. You know, you see a lot more steals because it's harder for, you know, I think they're 12, a 12-year-old catcher to throw somebody out.
So talk to me a little bit about the way these teams are put together. Are these regional teams, national teams, city teams, high school teams?
I believe it's teams from individual parks.
Okay.
Like, because
I don't know how Little League Baseball works.
So there's a lot of politics, and every year there's some scandal, but I'm going to pay to not pay attention to it.
Okay, good.
I'm going to choose not to pay attention to
it. That's not fun.
Exactly. But I think so Buckhead Baseball is the Little League around here.
Okay.
And they're the one that can go to the Little League World Series.
But they didn't.
I don't think they made it through the regional.
Okay. So there's a playoff system that gets you to the World Series.
You go, like, area,
right,
district, regional.
I remember there'd been some scandal about a team from Chicago or something.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big one.
That's a really good story that we'll tell another day.
Yeah.
The kids did nothing wrong. It was all the parents.
Isn't that always the case?
Yes.
And then there's that kid, Alamonte or whatever his name was, who was like 25 years old and pitched a perfect game. That was like 15 years ago.
Now, it does get a little sketchy with some of the smaller countries who are in it.
Right.
And I always thought it was funny that our champion...
What is age? We don't have age.
Our champion just automatically plays the... the international champion and
yeah,
redeem that person.
Fair.
But I digress. And also I love like the little, you know, the little tidbits about the players. Cause I always put something funny.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's just kind of fun. And you'll see like Jake Fromm, the former Georgia quarterback, he played in the Little League World Series.
So you see some of these players,
you see him
come
again
back.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome. I think there was a story about like Clayton Kershaw and maybe Matt Stafford or something being in
this
game.
They grew up as friends.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were in, I don't know if the age works out. They might have. I don't know if they went to Little League World Series.
I don't know either.
But they were definitely like, there are pictures of them playing baseball. Like Stafford was the catcher and Clayton was pitching.
That's amazing.
But I don't know, it's just kind of fun.
I know
watch,
you keep
like,
sending me these clips of what's going on there and sportsmanship.
The Nicaraguan team is quite a good story. I don't know if that's the proper way to say that phrase, but whatever. due to visa issues, only like one parent of the kids could come.
Only one parent from the entire team could come.
But so now just like Nicaraguan Americans are just flying in from all over the world or all over the country.
Just to support
the
team.
Yeah, to support
the team,
which I think is awesome.
That's great. That's a good story.
And, you know, and those people bring a lot of flair that you'll see in like the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched Cuba versus some other Latin American country. Playing in the World Baseball Classic. And I mean, it was a celebration of life. They had drums going in the outfield and like they were all chanting the entire game. I was like, this is so much fun.
So much fun. Yeah.
It reminds
me of just off the top of my head, this reminds me of the World Cup when it was, you know, down in South America and had the Vuvuzelas.
Oh, God.
Remember that?
I remember I've seen that before, but right after the. World Cup, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, said Vuvuzelas will not be allowed at SEC football games. It was like he wasn't even going to let it become an issue.
So my question for Little League Baseball then is, and you, I think you would probably know this because you work with kids, coaching kids. But is there a clear
work with kids?
Right, but in sporting situations, is there a clear like you can tell some kids get this and some kids don't thing in the World Series? Or are all these kids the kids who get it?
I would assume at this point it's all the kids.
So everyone knows like how to steal a base. Everyone knows how to hit the ball. Everyone knows like, all the stuff. How to pitch and
now,
stuff.
Now, if you were to rewind their season a couple months,
you'll see a learning curve.
Yes. Because these kids, early summer were playing against kids who was their first time playing baseball, which must have been fun to watch. I do, however, think these kids probably need to get back to school.
I was about to say, like, didn't school start soon?
Yeah.
How long is the World Series? When is it in?
It's got to be ending soon.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to the bracket. I just watch the games when they come on.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you had a matchup for us to look at. But,
No.
Just turn on TV, watch them. It's on ESPN, right?
It's on ESPN like it's his job.
People love that, man. Rights. People love kids and sports, so.
And I don't know. It's funny to see it played at the professional level.
Yeah.
The Little League level.
Speaking of which, the Braves, I think, are on national television twice this weekend, I heard.
Heck
on the radio. ESPN Sunday Night Baseball this Sunday. So check it out.
Is that the A-Rod broadcast?
I'm not sure. Probably.
I hope not. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Another quick fun
absolutely
thing.
Go for it.
Pujols is about to.
He's about to hit 700 home runs.
He's about to pass A-Rod.
Well, okay, that's fun. But let me ask you this. All right, so I'm not sure where he is exactly on the number count right now.
Getting there.
He's getting there.
He's in the low 690s.
So if he gets to 700 this year, you think he walks away? Or does he come back to DH one more year to go for Babe Ruth?
I mean,
he didn't have 15 home runs at that point. Come on.
Right now he has 8 home runs on the season.
But he's going to be hot. He's going to be fired up.
But now the past week or so.
How often does he actually play, though? You put him in the DH spot, you let him hit.
I mean, but in the past...
He's my age, by the way. He's 42 years old.
And
he and I
could hear the argument that pitchers might just be grooving in balls.
Oh, man. I want him to get to 700 at least.
Oh, he gets to 700. He's my favorite player of all time.
Pujols?
One of them, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The Cardinals are terrible.
They're
a terrible organization.
Playing the Braves
right
now.
Well, I'm going to be cheering for the Braves. As per usual.
I want the Braves to win every game 8-4, but Pujols has eight solo shots. Has four solo shots.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're getting ready to get cranked up into one of the best times in sports. I'm excited for it.
We're excited, man. The fall's coming. This is what we're waiting for. So, all right, that's our final thought for today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We will see you guys next week.
See ya.